Scripture reading is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You may be seated.
We are glad that you're out today, that you've come to gather together to worship. Looks like we have a number who are sick or traveling, but we're glad that you have made it. In our monthly preacher's meeting, one of the books we're starting to study is the Book of Romans. One of the key subjects of the Book of Romans is the grace of God. And as I've looked at this subject, and I really struggle with this subject. I struggle not because of God's awesomeness, not because of how he was willing to love us and offer his grace to us, but how he was willing to offer his grace to me. And maybe that's where you find yourself this morning. When we consider the attributes and the characteristics and the qualities of God, how and why would he ever look at us and offer his grace? Because when we look at ourselves, we understand that we're lost. Because of our sin, we're lost. Because we have separated ourselves from God because of our choices. Thus the scripture in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the promising that she would bring forth a son, and his name would be called Jesus, and he would save the people from his sin. Or in Luke chapter 8 and verses 8, or Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, where God speaks, and as we're told, the shepherds were told the good news of how one was born to bring joy for the people. And yet it doesn't take long as we look at Romans chapter 1 in verses 18 through 25 to see the condition that man got himself and gets himself into, to where God himself gave up on those who failed to retain him and the knowledge of him in their memory. And yet for those who walk in the light, we have the confidence and the promise of what is recorded in 1 John chapter 1 in verses 6 through 10, that the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us, forgive us of our sins. Now when we consider the grace of God, the three key words we need to at least give some consideration. And the first word is justice. And a very poignant, basic approach to understanding justice is man getting that which he deserves. The second is that of mercy. And that carries with it the understanding of man not getting what he deserves. And then the third word is that grace. And man getting what he does not deserve. When we consider the grace of God, we understand it is by grace through faith. There's God's part and there's man's part. Grace is the unmerited favor, and yet we see that man through faith has to participate in the reception, in the obtaining of the grace that God offers. Salvation is available, but that availability is conditional. That's not a popular statement that people want to hear today. People today want to hear salvation is available for everybody, and whether they do anything about it or not, they get to go to heaven to be with God. And yet, we can look at scripture after scripture and see where Jesus was to say in Matthew chapter 7, the ending of the Sermon on the Mount, But he who doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he who builds on the rock. We can look at John chapter 5. When Jesus speaks and says, do not marvel at this, for the time is coming, which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good and those who have done evil. The good to the resurrection of life. The evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Or the words that the Apostle Paul was to encourage the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. And to give you those who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall he punish with everlasting destructions from the presence of the Lord with glory and power. Or what Jesus was to say in Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things which I have commanded you? Or what Peter was to teach in Acts chapter 10 and verses 34 and 35. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Or even what Jesus was to say in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. When we look and we see that salvation is available, but it's also conditional, we have to understand that salvation is attributed to a number of things. For example, salvation is ascribed to God. 1 Timothy 2, 3. It's ascribed to Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. It's ascribed to the Word. It's ascribed to the blood. It's ascribed to works. It's ascribed to preaching. It's ascribed to hearing. It's ascribed to faith. It's ascribed to repentance. It's ascribed to baptism. Obedience is essential. And so when we start looking and start talking about what it means for the grace of God and God's grace to be offered to mankind and offered to us, it is not something that just happens to float down on us and then we're blessed by it. We're blessed by the availability that God has made it for each of us. And that's important. But when we take and we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Holy Spirit says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of your own self. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus, which God hath ordained before that we should walk in them. Do we hear what the Apostle Paul says? You see, that grace, that unmerited favor, does not mean unconditional acceptance, but unconditional opportunity. It's God through his benevolence, through his heart, that offers this grace to mankind. When we start considering the scriptures that verify it, consider Ephesians 1, 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Titus 3, 7. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Or Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. or in verse 5 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, where Paul says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So when we start talking and thinking about the grace of God, there are some pertinent questions that we need to give attention to consider. For whom is this grace of God? What must I do to obtain it? What does it cost me? What can grace do for me? Can I lose it after having obtained it? It's important that we understand that this grace is not of works. It's not something that we earn, that we can do to merit, to obtain it. Matter of fact, it's not even by obeying the Old Testament word for word. But it is of the works of God. The grace from heaven, the grace of God, is something that deals totally with God's response towards us as we seek Him. Let's look at some scriptures that will verify this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Or Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. For by the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. James 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Or Romans 3 and verse 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Or as Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or what the Hebrew writer was to say in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in our time of need. Or what Peter was to say in 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Or as Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. You know, as I look at these verses, I have more to go through, but I want us to gain an understanding that this grace that God pours out, has poured out, continues to pour out for mankind, is not something that was an afterthought. It was something which God, from the beginning, before the creation, had determined to make available. I'm sure you've heard the story of George Wilson, a man who was convicted of mail fraud and was sentenced to death. And yet through the efforts and the pleading of many people, he was granted a pardon before his execution. And as they went to his cell to Tell him he was free to go, he would not leave the cell. Finally, the case went before the judge, and the judge made the determination that if George Wilson would not accept the pardon, he'd be executed. God determined to make His grace available. And yet, as we look in Ephesians 1:7, notice what Paul says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. I don't know about you, but I struggle with God's grace. I struggle accepting it. I struggle understanding it. Even when I come to chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that in ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You see, on one hand, I stand here and say, God's grace is fantastic and I appreciate it and I love it and it's there available for all mankind, and I believe that and I know that to be a truth. And yet there's part of me that holds on to a fear and holds on to the knowledge and understanding that not only is there the goodness of God, but there's also severity. I still remember that God told Paul, you've got to stick with that thorn in the flesh. It's not going away. I think about Moses, most humble God used to lead the children of Israel, was still not allowed to enter into the promised land. I think about David, a man after God's own heart, a man who loved God, and yet a man whose son on his deathbed still died. I think about Paul, whom God chose, whom God used, who still said, I buffet my body, lest after having carried the gospel, I become a castaway. So when I look over at John chapter 3 and verse 16 and see that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, I'm able to see and understand maybe a little bit better Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, where it says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. You see, I want to think about the grace of God poured out on me, and yet according to what I read in the Holy Writ, it says that by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for me. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul could say, in speaking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God that was given to you through Jesus Christ. Maybe we could look at Titus 3:7, that having been justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. Or 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. You see, when we consider the grace of God, not only is it important for us to understand of God pouring out His grace on us, but that He pours out His grace on us through faith. Consider Noah. Noah found grace or found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Yet a Hebrew writer tells us in verse 7, chapter 11, that Noah was saved by faith. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 shows us Noah was saved by works. Peter would say in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, that Noah was saved by water. You see, Noah may have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It may have been unconditional availability for Noah, but he had to accept it. Consider the text of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, that they heard the grace. They believed. They repented. They were baptized. How were they saved by grace? But by their response to what God was offering. But by the gift that God was giving. Consider for a moment this amazing grace. When we look at its recipients, when we consider the measure of its tremendous cost, when we understand the extent of this grace, when we consider its power to motivate, or as Winfred Clark said in his article, when we see its benefits. When we look at the grace of God, it is something, yes, that we do not deserve, but it's something that God wants us to have, to accept, if we will. If we will take and accept and receive through faith the Son of Jesus, hearing the Word, believing the Word, confessing the Word, repenting and obeying the Word, being in contact with the blood of Jesus, having our sins washed away, then we, as recipients of this grace, are able to live in a means by which we can grow more fully in our understanding and in our relationship with the Father. For by grace ye are saved. You're right. For by grace we're saved. This is grace through faith. And oh, that each of us would have the faith of the Father who says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That we in ourselves may grow in the understanding and knowledge of what faith is. For the Hebrew writer was to say, without faith it's impossible to please God, Romans 11:6. The faith is not in our ability, but in God's identity, in who God is. And God's the loving Father who willingly offers His grace unconditionally to all who would accept it. It's available. Is there a way in which we can encourage you or strengthen your knowledge and your relationship with God through His grace? If so, grant us the opportunity while we stand and while we sing.